is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, I can't slow down. It's gonna go.
Yay, yay!
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. It is Thursday, April 14th at 8:04 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are broadcasting live right here on godfathersofpodcasting.com. And in case y'all didn't know, we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Always, this show will be available on all major podcast providers. Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your stuff, we are there. But if you want to watch us, you can only watch us on godfathersofpodcasting.com. You can listen anywhere, all those places I mentioned, or you could use Alexa, Google, or whatever magic talking box you happen to have in your home that does all your menial chores and tells you the temperature. When you're on our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com, go to our shop, buy some merch. We have everything you can imagine. We slapped our logo on that shit, and we want you to buy it at a reasonable markup. You can interact with us right now and send us a text, or you can get us on WhatsApp. The number is 437-375-2000. That's 437-375-2000. Send us your questions, your deep thoughts, stupid questions, and if they're good, we'll read them on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Donnie Da Silva, and I am one half of Radio Online Radio's original dynamic duo. He is the Laverne to my Shirley, the Mo to my Curly. He's the Batman to my Robin. It is my pleasure to introduce a man tougher than Mike Tyson, smarter than Einstein, and uglier than sin. This is my guy, Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell.
Oh, I would have said maybe like the Tom to your Jerry. I would have said the, like, I'm the Archie to your Jughead.
Ooh, that's a good one, actually.
Listen, you can write that down. Use it in the future.
We already know Dan's not going to be here next week either, so stop giving away the shit for free.
Yeah, right?
That was amazing. Next week's intro.
I don't know if you've noticed something new or anything like that this week, but
Did you fix your face?
Hey, yeah, I knocked somebody out, took their tooth.
Last week, Tid was missing a tooth. This week, somebody else is.
I don't know what you're talking about last week. It was here the whole time.
Ladies, what's going on? Let's get a close-up of the new Tid smile.
Yeah, I got one of those. I got one of those new hockey.
Hold on, let's solo that thing.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're all better.
Right. I don't know about that. It's a long process. Ridiculous. Like, this is just one of those pop in like hockey teeth fucking retainer gimmicks, you know what I mean, I slurp. Now when I talk sometimes it's crazy, but to try to get an implant is insane. Like, the time it takes for just one little gimmick. I am scheduled like middle of the year in like July for a consultation, you know what I mean?
What kind of implant are you getting, like D's?
I'm thinking about getting something that's got like something shiny embedded in it.
Oh,
yeah.
A little diamond,
like a little diamond skull and crossbones or something like that.
I was just going to say a diamond encrusted middle finger right on your tooth.
Yeah.
When you're smiling sarcastically, you're still telling them to fuck off.
I mean, it's usually, you know, this way I just don't have to say it out loud.
Everyone sees it on your face anyways. Yeah. If fuck you was a face, that would be it. It's legit. So we should mention our bro Danio is not here this week, the other godfather of podcasting. Dan mentioned that last week he was recovering from COVID. And as a result, he had to rearrange some stuff in his life. You know, you sit at home for 10 days in quarantine, and then you got to catch up on shit.
So, he's got to play catch up, and that's what he's doing. He's going out there and trying to play catch up, and in doing so, his schedule does not fit with this one right now this week.
Which is fine.
You know what? Whatever.
That's fine. That's okay. We're just going to keep on trucking. All it means is that in the backstage area before we started the show, Dr. Tid didn't have like an impromptu therapy session. That's all that means.
That's a different Can you imagine if we ever did that show?
We just aired everything we did off air.
Tid's couch.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's do it right now. 437-375-2000. Do you want to get up on Tid's couch? Do you have relationship problems? Do you have questions? Do you have stress that you need help managing? Text Tid right now. 437-375-2000. Warning, he is not a doctor, but he will beat one up and then give him the advice that he should have given you.
Up and off.
You'll beat the doctor off?
What?
Hey, now.
Only if he's on top. Only if he's on top.
Wow. Tid the power bottom.
No, I meant like push him off. What are you talking about?
You go with whatever you want, baby.
All right, baby boy.
We have lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. How was your week, dude? Let's start with that. Let's go back on it, right? And how was your week, Big Daddy Donnie Da Silva?
My week has been interesting. It's been very, very busy.
Did you have a hit?
I do have a hit. I do have a hit. My hit this week, because we introduced this new segment last week, Hits and Shits. So my hit this week, I'm trying, Tid. It was one of my New Year's resolutions. To find ways to eliminate negativity and toxicity from my life. That's one of my things that I've been trying to focus on.
Like an enema?
That would be a start. I should probably explore that option. But no, I was thinking more in terms of the stuff that we tend to surround ourselves with. So I guess another guy out there who's had a similar thought process is Dominic O'Meara. And if you feel like you have never heard that name before, Dominic O'Meara is trying to become the next mogul, if you will. He has launched a new social media platform. It's called Supernova. And his brand promise with Supernova is to make a social media platform devoid of garbage, devoid of misinformation, devoid of toxicity, where half of all profits go straight to charity. The likes you generate on your content raise money for charity. Dominic O'Meara says that based on their business predictions, within 12 months, capturing less than 1% of Facebook's current share, that means less than 1% of people decide, I'm going to make a Supernova account and I'm going to give it a test drive. They believe they can donate $600 million to charity next year. I don't know if this is a thing or if this is just the next. I mean, how many social media platforms have come and gone over the years? And 7,000. There's been so many. And really, at the top of the heap are the grand champions that aren't seeming to go anywhere. But it's true. Instagram, Facebook, even YouTube comments, they are some of the most toxic places in the world. And I don't know how they're planning to keep this clean. I don't know how you stop people from arguing in the comments. I don't know what the process is. Maybe that's going to trigger some people. Supernova just censors you. Fuck them. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know, but I'm willing to try. And at least I'm going to try to try. I haven't signed up yet, but I'm going to try to try. So if you want to try to try, it's go-supernova.com. See if we can help them hit that 1% and that $600 million to charity next year. And along the same lines.
Do you get to pick the charity, or is it, what is the charity? Or is charity the name of like dude's daughter and she's a stripper? Like, what is
charity's charity? His puppy.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I
don't know.
I'm okay with it. I just would like to have some clarification. I'm going to own stock in this, basically.
I'm sure there's probably more information once you become a member of Supernova. So maybe I will do that later on and I will report back.
That could be a cool hit.
Yeah. The last time we had a social media platform that wasn't loaded with toxicity was probably MySpace, because everyone was just too excited to share their favorite song and show you who was in their top five.
It was only a matter of time, though. Could you imagine if we still had that in this day and age? And you even just tried to call it MySpace, how upset that would make people.
It's no good anymore. Because
you're trying to put a tag and ownership on it.
It's our space. You know what I
mean? It's our space.
I remember, actually, now that I say MySpace was pretty much free of toxicity, I legit remember friends, mutual friends of ours, having heated discussions about how am I not in your top five? Wow. So there was toxicity, just not quite the same level. But along those same lines, I want to also shout out this other company. I guess they've been around a little while. I only discovered them this past week since our last episode. And I think this is really cool. And I think it's a really neat concept. And this could be the future of business, or it could be a multi-million dollar flop. I learned this week about a really cool company that gives water, bottled water, away for free. Not as a promotional item, as always. That's what they do. They give you free water. Okay. They'll put it on the shelves in a store. And if you want it, you take it, and it's free. Always, forever. That's their business model. What do you mean, Donnie? How does that work? Their entire packaging.
I didn't say that.
Oh. I'm speaking on behalf of the listener. The one.
I'm sorry, my mistake. Please carry on.
The packaging is 360 advertising. And the bottles are usually some kind of like alloy, some aluminum. It's not aluminum. It's like a metal canister or something. It's like one of those clean canteen type gimmicks. So once you use the water that's in it that you didn't pay for, you can refill it and use it again and again and again, like one of those water gimmicks that people take with them everywhere. And it's just advertising.
Do you take it back to the store to refill it?
I guess that's an idea that you could give it back as a recycle or something. I don't know. That I didn't hear that part. But what I heard is their shipping, their distribution, their profit, their operating cost, everything is covered by their advertising. And so I started looking into this, and I read an interview with one of the principals over at this company, which, by the way, coincidentally is called Free Water. I was reading one of their comments, and they said, listen, YouTube is free. It's the greatest resource on the internet. Why is it free? Advertising. You know, there are so many things that we have in our world that are free because of advertising. But we never think of consumable goods as being one of those things. Why? Why not? Why couldn't it be? And I thought, okay, I'm down, Free Water. Let's see what you got. I want to take this shit for a ride. Now, my understanding is so far, Free Water is Texas-based and expanding. But I'm pulling for them, man. Freewater.io. I'm pulling for you guys.
That's an interesting approach to try to get your name and your product out there.
I thought you were going to say an interesting approach to losing all your money.
Well, there's that too, because I'd like to know more about this company as soon as you said they're from Texas.
Yeah. And learn about their sponsors too, right?
100%, right? But that's pretty cool.
It's a very interesting concept. So
What other consumable goods could you get away with doing that with, though?
It's a great question. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Because water's universal. You know what I mean? Everybody needs, and everybody in some way, shape, or form consumes water. Well, so it is the number one. Is there anything bigger?
Like, well, the funny thing,
put advertising on it.
The funny thing about water. Well, I don't know. But the funny thing about water is when you and I were kids, you know. Water was one of those things that people would joke, like, what are you going to do? Make you pay for water? You know, like it was a rib, right? Like, water's free. It's always free. Right. And then all of a sudden it's like, water is on the shelf and it's $3 each. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's water. There's no alcohol in there.
But could you imagine? But you know the difference between that and the stuff that comes out of your tap.
Of course, I get it. And we've all been worked into believing that it's so much better. So I'm down with it, whatever, you know, let's go with it. But theoretically, yeah, you could do the same thing with a can of beer. Theoretically, yeah, you could, but I mean, there might be some legal implications of people getting drunk for free. I don't know.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Go ahead like, and rot your gut,
but I mean, but if you think about what the consumable things are, okay, drinkables, obviously the first and foremost, what kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But you think about it, in some states or some countries, I should say, like in Mexico, already it's mandatory that the junk food manufacturers put a, basically a warning up in the corner of their junk food that says, this is junk food. Mm. You know what I mean? So like, is the next step to put advertising? We saw it when we were kids, did we not? When you'd like dig to the bottom of the cereal box for the prize, you know, that's a form, yeah, like, those... and they would put the little picture on the front. That's a form of advertising. You bought that cereal based on how great that toy could be.
Every single time I'd buy a box of cereal as a kid, seeing like, you know, oh my God, there's a Superman action figure. And then you get it. It's a piece of fucking cardboard and you cut out. It's like, I got fucking trolled, man. The cereal company just fucking trolled me and I feel stupid.
Who just joined us there for a second? What the fuck is that?
It's the troll song.
Where the wow.
So that was my hit of the week. I'm all about these altruistic businesses that have a different purpose than just cashing in on folks. Here's my shit of the week. And it's a twofold shit. And I will hit it on the two-pronged approach really quickly. And the only reason it's a two-pronged approach, Tid, is not because I'm trying to be selfish and take up airtime and fill for Dan. It's because...
No, that's exactly what it is.
It's because they both happened on the same night, at the same event, under the same roof. First off, Alicia Centurio, an activist, glued herself to the basketball court during the Minnesota Timberwolves LA Clippers play-in game. She was wearing a t-shirt that said, Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive. And for those of you that don't know, Glenn Taylor is the owner, or at least was the owner, of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the owner of Rembrandt Enterprises, which is a huge egg farm factory in Iowa. I say he was the owner. Glenn Taylor sold controlling stake of the Timberwolves to Alex Rodriguez, but apparently all those hundreds of millions A-Rod made when he was playing for the Yankees, he's paying for the T-Wolves in installments. He put that shit on layaway. So technically Glenn Taylor still has a stake in the T-Wolves. This young lady went to the game, and somewhere in the middle of the game decided she was going to walk out on the court. She poured super glue on the palm of her hand and stuck it on the baseline of the hardwood floor. And within seconds, she had security all over her. How she even got to the floor, don't get me started, but she did. Security got all over her and she was thrown out. She was banned from the arena for 1 year. She was not arrested. She was not charged. And she said that she was raising awareness for a global grassroots network of animal rights activists called Direct Action Everywhere and speaking out against the operations of Rembrandt Enterprises and what they do and apparently the cruel way that they farm and treat animals. I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about what Rembrandt Enterprises does or how they operate, but I will say this. I've always been a fan of protest. I think you should be willing to be bold with your protests. What I'm never a fan of is doing something that's going to endanger other people that don't know what the fuck you're doing. And basketball is one of those sports, dude, and you've seen it a million times. You get photographers that are sitting on the baseline and a player trips on them when they're going full speed and they break an ankle. You know, like she was trying to make herself a legit obstacle on the floor. That's not cool. Secondly, I feel like when people do this kind of thing, They bring more negative attention to their cause than they do positive. They get looked at like a, like that person's nuts. They're insane. Well, yeah.
Of course.
It's not positive press.
Do you think it, is it that adage? Is it that old adage that, you know, bad publicity is good publicity? Listen, I don't see it that way. I think that this chick is a numbskull. You talked about somebody like, you know, tripping over her during play. It would have been even funnier if she got stuck there and then just punted her head off into the third row. You got to remember, you're not doing this like at a tennis match. These are fucking giants running full speed and trying to stop on a dime. You know what I mean? And your stupid ass is worried about what? Because somebody cooked some chickens?
And honestly, if she walked out on the floor, even though you're not supposed to, but if she walked out on the floor and said, look at my shirt, I hate Glenn Taylor. If she did some shit like that, I'd respect it more. The fact that she took super glue, put it on the palm of her hand, and then put it on the floor and thought that would work.
Bro, what happened to streakers? What happened to streakers? You know what I mean? Paint your cause like no fur, wow, whatever, and run across the game like naked as a jaybird. Like, but like gluing your dude, you know how bad that fucks up the floor? Like, can't get that shit off for the rest of the game, and guys can't play in that area as well, because we know how those floors are taken care of. They're taking care of just as much as the prima donna players.
You wipe them like a diaper.
Don't kid yourself. Just like the players.
Yeah. So my part two shit out of my hits and shits.
This is the longest shit you've ever taken.
My part two was the ridiculous overabundance of celebration that happened when the Minnesota Timberwolves won that game.
Wow, that was hilarious.
Kyle Kuzma tweeted out, wow, the Wolves just won the chip, which was hysterical. They won. So for anyone who doesn't understand, when the pandemic hit, the NBA decided to do this thing to try and make things more interesting or more equitable, whatever the fuck their reasoning was. I hate it. Where the number 7 and number 8 teams in each conference no longer have a guaranteed playoff spot like they have since the beginning of time. Now it's, if you're 7th or 8th, you have a chance to qualify for the playoffs by playing single game eliminations against 9 and 10.
The play-in or whatever.
It's called the play-in tournament. Ugh. So Minnesota was number 7. The Clippers were number 8. Minnesota wins, then they get to go into the playoffs officially. They won the game. A lot of experts didn't think they would, because LA just got back two of their big players, Norm Powell and Paul George, and they've been looking good.
Isn't that just a wild card?
It's essentially like an NFL wild card. It kind of is. Yeah, it's a weird gimmick. But anyway, so they get in. They make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they proceed to celebrate. Mm-hmm. They're pouring champagne. They're dumping Gatorade bottles. They're Pat Beverly is freaking. Those guys didn't want. He was on the Clippers last year. They didn't want him anymore. But that's not the true story. He wanted to get paid more than they thought he was worth. So they traded him.
And
now he's all bitter. Oh, I gave my heart and soul to that team. He climbs up on the scorer's table, bro. Yeah. Takes off his jersey, throws it in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll never need this again. Like, we won. All that.
Just goes all Antonio Brown, but in a positive.
Like, hey, Pat Bev, keep that same energy next week when you guys get bounced by the Memphis Grizzlies. Another team. That
crazier things. Crazier things have happened, though, right? Like, who knows? Man. What would happen? What would happen if they turned it around to be the Cinderella team that just wins it all?
Won't happen. My coaching. It won't happen. My coaching mentor used to always say to me, "Act like
were they supposed to win that one?"
I mean, they were the favorite because they're the higher seed, so technically they should have. But
where was your money?
I mean, if I had to lay down a couple bucks, I probably would have put it on the Clippers, because they had more momentum going into the last, you know, in the last few days.
So they already fucked you.
Yeah, they sure did.
Right?
Hard. Right?
Yeah. So who knows? Who knows? I would love to see what the odds are on that one for them to like squeak all the way through.
Oh, you know God, what I mean? No.
And
no,
win
no,
this
no,
thing.
No. They might get swept. They're going nowhere. They're going nowhere.
Let's see what the odds are. What are the odds?
I don't give a shit.
Let's see what the fucking odds are.
You check the odds.
I'm going to. You just keep yammering on.
Go ahead, Mr. Vegas. Check the odds. I don't give a rat's ass. I'll put down a sawbuck right now.
Could you imagine what the payout on that's got to be? Because clearly people are like, oh fuck, are you kidding me? Like the friend we don't like showed up at the party. Ugh, that's really what it kind of is, right? All right, what are we at? NBA stuff, right?
Yep. I'm checking too, and I'm not seeing it.
Playoff series. Here we go. Who are we talking about? Okay, the Minnesota and Memphis. Memphis is -320. Minnesota is +260, right? So, I mean,
Memphis is the favorite.
You throw down $100, you win $260 if you know Minnesota wins that.
They're not doing that.
But I'm saying that's not like it's a lot. The odds are a lot tighter than you would think. You know what I mean? That's not even worth putting money down on, to be honest with you. You know what
I'm saying? I think that's a line.
Oh, for shit. I just put money down on
that. I think that's as the Vegas sharps would say, I think that's for the dumb money, that line.
Yeah.
I think that line's gonna move as we get closer to Saturday.
So let's talk series because it's kind of a thing, you know. Obviously the Raptors are, you know, in a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Do we think this series is going to actually be worth watching? Do we think it's going to go 7 games?
I don't think it's going to go 7 games. A lot of people
think it's going to go 5.
My prediction is Raptors in 6.
Okay.
That's my prediction. I know that everyone keeps saying, well, Philly has the best player. That's true.
They got the best cheesesteak.
They have the best cheesesteak and they have the best player. Toronto's...
They have the best meanie as well.
Toronto's a better overall team. They've been playing better since December 1st. They're the number 2 team in the entire NBA. Yep. Since March 1st, they're the number 1 team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They look scary good. They handled Philly's asses in the regular season. And it's so funny, you know, the way, like, going into the season, everyone was talking about Toronto, like, oh, they're just a bunch of small guys because they're all 6'8", 6'9". They don't have any big guys on the team.
But they're consistent.
Well, they're long. That's what they are. They all have wingspans over 7 feet tall. And that's the new newness in the NBA. Nobody gives a shit anymore if you're 7 feet tall. They care if you're 7 feet long.
Yeah.
So, like, when you listen to guys post-game on the opposite team talking about Toronto, they're like, man, it's like they got 5 guys out there that are 7 feet tall. They don't have one guy over 6'9".
Right.
They play so big because they're freaking long. And this Frankenstein monster of a team that they've created in Toronto is so fun to watch and so interesting. And they present so many matchup problems for teams, you know, because they're doing things in such an unconventional way. I think they're the worst possible matchup for Philadelphia. If Philadelphia matched up with Chicago, they'd probably sweep. If they matched up with, you know, a lot, even Brooklyn, which everyone's afraid of Brooklyn. Ah, Brooklyn, they got KD. I think if Philly matched up with Brooklyn, they win that one easily because Brooklyn doesn't play any freaking defense. And their team is basically 2 guys. I think this series could be interesting. Now, if Joel Embiid comes out and goes freaking bananas in the first couple of games, maybe it's a different story. But you put Coach Nick Nurse against Coach Doc Rivers, I'm taking the nurse over the doctor every single time.
Now, speaking of the nurse, what do you think about the rumors of him actually like sticking around after this year?
There's 0% chance that he's going to the Los Angeles Lakers. Los Angeles.
Dude, I didn't say nothing. Why are you looking at me like I said the Lakers? I didn't say nothing about the Lakers. Yeah,
that's where'd the you story.
The Lakers? You didn't hear it from me. I didn't say nothing. There. You can't prove it.
That's the story that's out there. And every offseason. But
where does he go? or
he's not going anywhere.
I mean, obviously, if the Raptors, that's what I'm saying. The Raptors,
he's under contract. Proven,
well, I mean, contracts.
He's not going anywhere.
You know how that goes.
He's not going anywhere. He's under contract. Coaches don't get traded, because the one or two times it does happen, it's backfired. He's not going anywhere. And I think that what we're going to see is we're going to see Nick Nurse stay the long term and eventually move into, you know, maybe he'll continue coaching long term. I don't know. I think from what I know, he really, really, really loves being in Toronto.
Right.
He loves being in Toronto. And unless Iowa, his home state, suddenly gets a basketball team in the NBA, I don't see him having a desire to head out anytime soon. He knows.
Could you imagine?
He knows that LA is a shitstorm right now. Like, they're the new Knicks.
Well, fuck.
They are. Listen,
that was one of the most hilarious and wonderful, like, shit shows ever this year. Just giving the pressure that's put on LeBron James and the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, everybody just assumes so much stuff that it's unbelievable. I personally don't get it. I mean, obviously basketball is just trying to figure things out right now. The playoffs are going to be interesting. I think that the playoffs are going to have a lot of, I don't think there's going to be a consistency in the playoffs where, like, a lot of games go 5-7. I think you're going to see a few blowouts through it, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Listen, one of my positives was the fact that my friend Donnie gets to actually see more basketball, because he was bitching last week, you know what I mean, that there was no more March Madness, so to speak. So no more college basketball, so to speak. The funny thing is the older Donnie gets, those college boys still keep saying the same age. So I'm sure that's why he's liking to watch it, not so much for the basketball, just for the ball. But anyways, no, listen. The hits for this past week, obviously, I talked about it last week, with the shits being the fact that there was no UFC cards, no MMA cards, basically, for 2 weeks. And then last week, we got hit up with some boxing, some good boxing, and we got hit up with some fantastic MMA and UFC fights. So I was very, very glad that that was back, and it looks like we're going to be going on a tear for a little bit with boxing, with MMA. I personally am looking forward to, like, this next pay-per-view that's coming up. We got a couple of fight nights in between, but then we've got, like, a masterpiece of UFC fights over the next little while. And even starting off, what are we at? We're sitting here going into Easter weekend. By the way, happy Easter to all of you out there. Happy Easter, Donnie. Happy Easter weekend. Happy Zombie Day for those of you that to look at it another way. I mean, listen, who am I to criticize? You're criticizing right now, Donnie. That's shame on you. You know what I mean? Shame, shame. But happy Easter nonetheless to all of you. And even this Friday, Bellator has a huge fight in their main event with AJ McKee, the son of Antonio McKee, who had a long, long career inside of the UFC. Fantastic fighter, defending his championship in a rematch against one of the Pitbull brothers. And then he's already said that he wants to fight the other Pitbull. And then after that, like, he wants $1 million to keep fighting in Bellator. Otherwise, he wants to go fight in the UFC, which I would love to see. Bellator has finally got some guys that have come up through the ranks. So don't kid yourself. They got some good fights going on. The fights with the UFC this week, Muhammad Bilal and Vicente Luque in the main event. Outside of that, this is one of those cards that I talk about all the time, where you don't have a lot of big name, big marquee name guys fighting on this card, which usually means 9 times out of 10, these are going to be stellar fights. So tune in, please. And I don't get paid. I'm not a shill for the company. Don't get it twisted. You know, I'm just telling you that come Saturday, when you're sick and tired of hanging out with your family, or you know that the next day on the Sunday, you have to go hang out with your family, do yourself a favor, stay up late, watch some fights, and that's going to be cool. And so that was my hit. My shits. Oof. for this past week. I got to be honest with you, believe it or not, Donnie, it's trying to learn how to talk with a retainer in your mouth, bro. This is ridiculous. It's like having taffy, like Macintosh taffy, stuck to the top of your gums, and you can't do anything about it. And this is the shit, because talking is what I do. That's, you know what I mean. This is what we do here. This is what I do for a living. And when you can't do it, then it's just god awful. And this is for all of the sake of vanity, because you know the look of having a full mouth of teeth is more important than being actually you know knowing how to remember how to say words properly without.
I'm actually
silly.
I'm actually surprised that you care.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just you always strike me as a guy that doesn't really give a shit how he looks.
Well, thank you. Right, life's a work there, Donnie, and sometimes, you know, sometimes it is what it is.
All right, that's Tid tremendous. Is self-conscious. I just learned
over some things. Absolutely, the older you get, you realize every day that you look in the mirror, how can you not be? Right. Do you look at yourself differently now than you did 10 years ago?
Yeah, much prettier now.
Nope, that's a lie. Mm-mm. Yep, that is a lie, and you know it. But as soon as you come to terms with that.
If
you see K.
I've had enough of you.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Donnie. Yeah, what movie is that from? Where's the callers? Where's the texts? What's going on? Nobody has any, want my advice?
Yeah, we do actually. You want some? We have one that came in right now. It says, hey, Tid, I want to get on the couch with you. My girlfriend often goes out on weekends with her ladies. She calls it girls' night. Unfortunately, okay. I'm never allowed to attend. I work evenings every single day, and weekends are my time to socialize, so I don't get to see her except when she gets home from the bar and it's about 2 or 3 in the morning and we hang out until the next day. Should I be concerned? We keep fighting about this because it happens every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
If she's coming home to you every weekend, then and still getting home at that time, no. Don't be concerned, because it's really none of your fucking business. And if you are too much of a cuck to not go out and like find your own side piece at this day and age, then please, that's on you, bruh. I'm just saying, listen, if she's still going to go do what she's going to do and bring it home to you, at least like, here's what you got to do. Maybe like, I'm not saying rifle through her purse, but maybe rifle through her purse and see how much money she left with. If you guys are in a serious relationship, then you have access to the bank accounts. Listen, I personally don't think she's doing much. If she was, she'd be staying out all night, because if she doesn't care about you enough, she's not going to be coming home at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. She's going to be coming home at like 8 or 9 a.m. and it's going to be over pretty quick. So if you have your own insecurities, it's because guilt comes from within. And maybe it's because you think that you need to go out and find another piece of tail. And if that's the case, then you need to talk to her about making that relationship more open so that you can enjoy what you need to enjoy. That's all I'm saying.
You want another one?
Let's bring it on. What you got, people? I got answers.
We opened up the new segment, Get on Tid's Couch. Here's another one that came in. Hey, Tid, I don't know what to do. I have a really good job, but I feel burnt out. I work 12 to 14 hours a day in a very comfortable office. I make a shit ton of money, but I don't have a social life.
Right.
I'm past my child rearing years, and I really, really want to have a life, but at this point, I don't know how. I'm afraid of online dating. I'm afraid to go out there, and I'm still kind of afraid of COVID. Should I just hold on to what it is that I currently have that is stable and secure, or should I give it all up and move to an island and meet someone special?
Get an OnlyFans page.
How is that good advice?
Well, because I figure, like, obviously it's a female that we're talking to on this one, right?
I don't know. They didn't give their name.
Okay. Either way, if it's a male or female.
I guess so. This is what I'm saying. They said child rearing years. So.
Okay. And that could, I mean, I'm well past my child rearing years too. You know what I mean? Never mind. But what you need to do is you need to make all the money possible. If you plan on going and hanging out on this island that you speak of, you need to make all of the money possible before you can do so. It sounds like, read that back to me again one more time from the beginning.
It's too long.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying, that stop worrying about it. Just go make money. Have fun. Because the more money you make, the more time you can take off and not have to worry about it.
Well, it sounds like they're making a lot of money and not going anywhere.
So go places. Who are you going to leave it to? If you're past your child rearing years, you're just going to leave it to nobody. So go spend it.
I mean, I don't disagree. I kind of take the attitude these days of, look, man, you've got one life, so fucking live it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they didn't ask you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You want one more?
Sure. What do we got?
Okay.
We could do this all night.
There's another one that just came in at 437-375-2000. Says, hey, Ted, I'm having a difficult time. I'm in a same-sex relationship. I'm 21 years old. My parents have no idea because I've never come out. My partner is threatening to leave me if I don't tell my family and my friends about my relationship. I don't feel like I'm ready. Should I go with what my partner is suggesting or should I wait?
Never. Never put all of your stuff into somebody else's basket. If you're not ready to live the life that you truly believe that you want to live, then it's nobody else's business. Plain and simple. When the time is right for you, you will do the right things for yourself. Don't feel like you have to be pressured into it. All right. By anybody, by your partner, by your parents, one way or the other. Listen, I get it. You're stuck in the middle. You're torn, so to speak. And you don't know which way to go because you want to please your parents because they've brought you up your entire life. But you're in love with somebody and you want to please them. Right. But the first and foremost thing, and I mean, this is the God's honest truth. You have to be honest with yourself. And if you're not ready to, then don't worry, baby boy, baby girl, whichever it is, you'll be ready when you're ready, plain and simple. So you just keep on doing what you do. And if that person that you're with right now will not accept you for that and is not willing to wait for you to make the decision for yourself, then they need to step.
I will share with everyone a peek behind the curtain. It is currently 8:47 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We were expecting to be joined by our guest tonight at 8:25. So one of the reasons we've had so much time to take your questions is because we don't know where the guest is. And we've sent messages and we have called and we're not getting any response. So we apologize. We may not have a guest this week.
But I got great answers. What else you got?
Folks, if you want to have your questions about life, love, and happiness answered by Tid, get on Tid's couch right now, 437-375-2000. Okay, there's one here. Tid.
Yeah, buddy.
Here, okay. Yeah, we got
another one.
Another one. This one comes in from, I guess it's a young, yeah, it says his name is Mike.
All right, Mike.
This one says, I have been talking to someone online for a few months. Okay. She never wants to talk on the phone and she refuses to video chat. Yeah. Am I being catfished? She does send pictures and oftentimes I'll ask for a specific pose and she will send them. She's super hot, way hotter than anyone I've ever dated. But my friends all tell me I'm an idiot and I'm being catfished. I told her I want to meet, even though she lives in a different state. What do I do?
First of all, you send those pictures to us for verification.
Yeah, do a Google image search first off.
Yeah, and when you say like in specific pose, are you we talking about like with today's newspaper in front of her? You know what I
mean?
This
tell
is
us.
My question to you, Mike. Like, get her to do a pose with that newspaper in front of her, like standing on a bridge with a landmark behind her. Because, yeah, as it sounds right now, you might be getting catfished. Do not send any money that way. If you're going to send some money anybody's way, go to the godfathersofpodcasting.com store and be sure to pick up some merchandise right now as we speak. You can get that hat that's covering up Donnie's bald spot as we speak. If you are watching this show right now, listen, we both know the truth. Or you can just get some really cool swag that we got going on. But yeah, bro, don't send any money. But otherwise, if it's just an online flirty, like get it on.
Did you ever do that before you were married? Did you ever do like the online thing? You never did, right?
No, not so much. Because you got to remember, I've been with like that was 2000, right? So prior to that,
online dating was already really, a thing.
Yeah. Was it? But I wasn't.
No.
But not online. You don't need a like, don't need a trace of that stuff. Not back then, bro. You know.
437-375-2000. Okay, we got one more here.
I'm just saying. We're having fun tonight. We're having fun tonight, Donnie.
We got one more. And this one is also unnamed, anonymous.
All right.
And it says, my partner and I are truly, truly in love. The problem is, we disagree on everything as it relates to COVID. We constantly fight and argue whenever the conversation comes up, to the point where I end up sleeping in a different room. I really question whether or not I can stay with this person whose fundamental beliefs are so different than mine. Am I being ridiculous? Should I just put my thoughts away and focus on the fact that otherwise I'm in a very healthy relationship?
First of all, hello, Danny O. thank you for sending in that message this week. We appreciate you checking in. Listen, you're not in love, you're in lust, and there's a difference. Ooh. There's a difference because you're looking at the physical more than the mental and the emotional, because you have to be able to it's okay to disagree. But you cannot get to the point where you are forcing yourselves into different locations of your house when it comes to time to sleep. Plain and simple. If you live together, you sleep together. If you do not sleep together, there's stress. And when you wake up in the morning, you have to deal with that stress. And it's never a good thing. So if you're not doing this, yeah, you're just into the fucking. And that's cool. Because you can be into that, but don't get it twisted and think that you're into the other stuff that goes along with it.
But they're sort of hold on. They're suggesting that their relationship is really strong, other than their, and I hesitate to use the term political beliefs, but it's,
ideologies.
You're right. Yeah. It is ideology.
Right. But if your ideology is forcing you to like not be in the same room when it comes time to have that needed, that zen, that rest together, that like we are in this fight together as a unit, right?
If doesn't it sort there, of lead to the concept that they just might need to learn how to talk to each other?
Yes, because they're not doing enough of it. They're focusing too much on the physical. And but the fucking what is makes good. You say don't get it wrong. The physical is good. And that's why they think they're in love.
Man, you're going in. Like you're taking no prisoners here. He's like calling out your whole relation. You're not in love.
No, you're not in lust. And being in lust is cool. Being in lust is cool because there's time to progress to being in love. What you think you're in love with now is not even close to what being in love is really like. And that's where you need to be. And you can get there. You just got to learn to open up and communicate a little bit more. Thank you very much. What's everybody think about science?
Sheesh.
Look at Dr. Tid getting all philosophical on a relationship tip.
That's what I'm saying. Trained professional.
This is not. No. No. Do not take any of his advice, folks.
Or do. And you know, send video.
You know what you just reminded me of? When Tid first introduced me to the most ridiculous band in the world, the Insane Clown Posse, and they have that track on there where there's like the suicide hotline.
Yeah.
Remember that track?
Yeah.
What album was that? Great Malenko? That was Great Malenko, right?
Don't do it inside, do it outside.
Suicide hotline. I'm thinking about killing
somebody's
let's reenact
that shit up.
Let's reenact it, right?
Oh, okay.
We don't have to do it verbatim. It's like, hello, I'm thinking of killing myself.
What?
I'm not happy, and I think I'm gonna take this gun and I'm gonna kill myself.
Well, if you're gonna do it outside already.
What?
Somebody's gotta clean that shit up.
Yeah, but I know
but call your mom.
What?
Do it.
Bang!
And then kick into a tune to make everybody throw Faygo everywhere. Like, so what a gimmick. And this is the thing. Listen, I was talking, like, we were talking last week, and I went back on the rewind for Sopranos, right?
Yeah.
And I am now, we are in the middle of season two, like smack dab in the middle, right? I'm convinced that what I was watching before, listen, there is stuff in there that is a complete indication of where we were then that still holds true to where we are today. And I mean this in the sense of things like there was full-on conversations with Tony and his uncle and his psychiatrist in the terms of talking about he had another uncle that got shipped off because he was, as they said in the show, retarded. And they had a conversation using the word over and over and over. And as you're doing this, you're like, wow, this was a show that was a gigantic hit 20 years ago, 22 years ago. And you could never get away with this verbiage today. You also had a scene where Tony is talking to a psychiatrist and he's like, you know, I said to you, I wanted to be this Cary Grant type character where I was the strong and silent type. Now you've got all these people that always want to piss and moan and bitch to everybody and cry and complain. And like the world's turned into a bunch of pussies. And it's like, as I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, I've heard this recently before. The world has not changed that much in the belief that there's always going to be people that are sad and depressed because the rest of the world is carrying on, right? It's sad and it's weird. Why are you hitting music, man?
Because it's 8:57 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and it's time to wrap this bitch up.
But I'm in the middle of something right now, talking about the Sopranos. Talk over the
music, motherfucker.
Wow. It's like I got that Academy Award hook. You know what I mean? Listen, if you get a chance, go back and watch Sopranos. And this is the thing that I'm convinced about, is that the first 2.5 to 3 seasons were meant to be a comedy. This thing is funny as shit. Like, the stuff that they talk about is funny. I popped. But maybe that's because I'm dark. You know, listen, I want to get more of these questions, Donnie. Send me more of these goddamn questions, people. We need to make this a segment next week. Start sending the questions in now, because let's do this all next week.
We do have more questions, so we can get to them next time. 437-375-2000. If you want to get on the couch with Tid, woo, he'll give you terrible advice for whatever you got going on in your world. That's Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell.
Hello.
My name is Donnie DeSilva. This has been the Godfathers of Podcasting. Episode 95 is done, such that it is. We'll see you next time.
Deuces.